From Sound and Video Contractor Magazine, this is the Networked AV Podcast, Show 13, with Aidan Williams of Audinate. Show notes for this podcast are available on the website of Sound and Video Contractor Magazine at svconline.com. The new digital audio networking protocol in town is Dante from Australian firm Audinate. Dante Audio Networking has established itself with a growing market share, and the company's CTO, Aidan Williams, is here to let us in on how Dante works. Coming up right now on the Networked AV Podcast. Aidan, thanks very much for being with me here on the Networked AV Podcast. And I've read some things about Audinate, and I was curious as to how it got started and what is the company all about.
Right. So Audinate is a venture-backed technology company based in Sydney, Australia, and also in Portland in Oregon. So we offer a complete suite of audio networking technology components to manufacturers of AV equipment. So primarily we're in the business of providing technology components to people who make AV gear. One of the things that differentiates Audinate from other companies is that the founders of the company come out of the networking world and have a very strong background in advanced networking. And that's both in networking technology development and also in the management of large-scale networks. So, for example, I used to run a university campus network of thousands of boxes on a very large Ethernet network. The core team got to know each other at Motorola Labs here in Sydney. We were all working on standards development in the IETF, which is the Internet Protocol Standards Develop Organization, and in the IEEE. At Motorola, we were primarily working on things like what's called zero configuration networking. So it's like plug and play home networking, various different types of links like Ethernet links and wireless links, also IPv6. And a bunch of other more company-specific or Motorola-specific things. So I think we got into audio networking because we liked audio. Although we're a bunch of networking people, many of Audinate's staff members are either amateur musicians, I play three different musical instruments, or they've worked at some point in the production industry, either in recording or in, theatre or something like that. And I think the connection of audio and AV and networking, we can see how we can really potentially revolutionize how AV systems are built if you can do the networking part right.
What was NICTA? How did Audinate come out of that?
Right. So when we were at Motorola Labs, as part of the whole, you might remember the sort of telco.com bubble and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So Motorola Labs actually closed down their Australian Research Centre. And what that did was that gave us an opportunity to have a team of people join this government research lab called NICTA, National ICT Australia. So about 5.5, nearly 6 years ago now, a team of us pitched an R&D project to NICTA, and they hired us to do an R&D project into audio networking. And so Dante is the fruit of that. So we started off in a government-funded R&D lab and worked for several years on the technology and then spun it out as a company.
So Audinate was NICTA's first spin-out company?
Pretty close. There's some competition about whether we really were the first and stuff like that, but I think we were.
The significance of that will probably fade out once you hit the really big stage, as you're doing already with your audio networking.
Indeed. It's not really a competition. I mean, NICTA exists to try and foster innovation and to do youth-inspired research, and I think there were a couple of companies competing for that sort of first spin-out tag, and I think it's a great thing.
Well, for an amateur musician, audio is definitely one of the more fun things you can do with networks, and it's not surprising that you got into that.
Oh, absolutely. So there's something about audio, and, for me, it's great to be working on cool technologies. Combines a bunch of things that I enjoy doing, combines networking, audio, music, software, particularly production software and computing, electronics, and it's been great to be able to work on all those things and turn it into a company. It certainly beats the sort of ordinary IT administration job or just, straight product development.
Right. That's not like being one of the nerds down in a dimly lit room just counting bits as they go by.
We have our dimly lit rooms, but
Okay. Well, we won't call you nerds, though. We'll just call you musicians, sort of gone right.
Yeah, for sure.
I know that the audio networking situation, though, is pretty hot right now. It's certainly not a field without competition. And there are several well-known audio networking protocols around. You got Ethersound and CobraNet and some of the more proprietary ones with ANET and Aviom and all those. How is the Dante protocol different from all those?
It certainly is a hot area, and that's actually one of the things that's quite exciting about working in this area. There's a lot of innovation going on, and apart from the various types of digital point-to-point connections, which I want to sort of put to one side because they're not really networks, even if they do have lots of channels. Most of the previous, all the previous networking protocols have been layered pretty much directly on top of Ethernet packets, so they're really just layer 2 packets. There's a very small layer on top of Ethernet. Dante, on the other hand, works entirely at layer 3, so it's built on top of the Internet protocols. So these are the protocols that you'd be familiar with in your home or in your office. We're doing this Skype call right now over Internet protocols, and they're the protocols that really are running the worldwide internet, and so they're highly scalable. Previous layer 2 networking technologies have had various restrictions, I think, which have kind of limited their deployment and certainly made them harder to manage and configure. For example, there are limitations in some of them of 100 megabit per second only. Things like Ethersound have a daisy chain style topology where the sources need to be in a daisy chain of some kind. They've often had fairly high latency. Certainly, in our experience, low latency is very important for live sound, and basically everybody wants as low a latency as you could possibly get.
Well, yeah, especially when you're getting into stuff like stage monitoring, in-ear monitoring, things like that.
Absolutely. And you don't need low latency all the time, but you definitely want a technology that can provide you with the low latency for those kinds of very high-performance paths in a network. So Dante, for example, gives you the ability to do like a gigabit stage monitoring path with very low latency while still, having 100 megabit, wide area distribution to hundreds of devices like out through a stadium.
So it seems like it can do a lot of things or just about everything that you can do with the more, I should say at this point at least, some of the more well-known audio networking protocols. But it seems to me like, one of the selling points of this is it sets up a network that really speaks everyday English.
Yeah, indeed. And it also makes it easy to set up such a network. So, I mean, we tried really hard when we were designing Dante to look at what was out there. So we I'd have to say that we learnt from, previous technologies. We did study them and we looked at their limitations and we tried hard to avoid those limitations. And being networking people, we also wanted to exploit the strengths of Ethernet switches or switch networks or modern switch networks, particularly gigabit networks, and to provide really easy to use plug into the Ethernet switch with very high performance and sample accurate timing. So we wanted to make sure that there weren't any strange limitations in topology or in terms of channels or bandwidth. So the idea was to try and design a networking technology so that the capacity and the performance of the Dante network was really limited only by the underlying networking links and technology, so the equipment that you bought. So if you add another switch or use a gigabit core, then you get more networking channels just by virtue of adding more equipment or adding more switching or increasing the speed of your network.
Yeah, I've noticed that some of the others, and one of the things they talk about in terms of latency is the latency between the audio, the analog audio in and the analog audio out. How does Dante compare, as far as that spec?
That's an interesting specification to look at because that includes converters, for example, the A to D and D to A converters.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about latency, we usually try and restrict ourselves to the digital domain, so the time it takes after the converter, because different converters have different speeds. So the lowest latency operation for a Dante network, if you're using gigabit, is 84 microseconds. You can validate that with one of our evaluation and development kits. Usually people are running sub-millisecond latency on gigabit networks, so the technology is certainly capable of doing very low latency.
And I know that this thing isn't just now getting off the ground. You're already licensed to what, more than 20 different equipment brands?
Yeah, 25 different equipment brands.
So you got Dolby Laboratories, I believe they were first, correct me if I'm wrong, and then you got Lab Grouping, you got PV Now, Presonus, Symmetrics, and a whole bunch of others.
We do indeed, and as time goes forward, you'll see products coming out from a number of those companies. Dolby was the first licensee of the technology, And we were really fortunate to have the support of Bruce Jackson from Dolby here in Australia. He's quite a visionary, I think, with the Dolby Lake processor, and he's been involved in the live sound industry a lot. So Bruce was kind of watching us when we were inside Nikta. We went and spoke to a number of companies, including Lake here in Sydney. So we kept on meeting up with Bruce, and eventually Bruce said, that looks really good. We're going to commit to putting that in the Dolby Lake processor. And so, you know, the fruit of that is the Dolby Lake processor is available today and getting used in a lot of, you know, high-end, large-scale events. And also the same technology is used in the lab group in PLM 10,000Q.
And one of the big points on this is that it's so user-friendly to set up, where you don't have to deal much in numbers and cryptic IP addresses, which I know from my own personal experience are fairly error-prone. Tell me something about how does Zen work in automatic network configuration and device discovery?
Yeah, so, you know, as you point out, a major hassle in networking is configuration. And the idea behind Zen is basically to eliminate a lot of that configuration complexity. If you messed around with networks, you usually find that at some point you need to configure something, whether it's an address or a port number, or, you know, in the case of Cobranet, it's things like bundle IDs or, you know, MAC addresses or, you know, senders and receivers. So basically there's potentially a whole bunch of addresses or numbers that need to be gotten right in order to get just the networking part to go, let alone the audio routing through the network. So the goal of Zen is to make the networking configuration automatic so that you never have to configure IP addresses or port numbers in order to get the basic networking part working. So there's no magic numbers that the user has to configure. One of the advantages of automatic configuration is that it eliminates the kind of typos and errors you get when people configure things manually, because you often have things like address conflicts. And so that's always a potential problem that needs to be avoided when manually configuring networks. So Zen means that you can set up an audio network basically by just connecting several Dante devices to a switch. So that's a completely standalone, completely unmanaged network. There's no need for IT infrastructure like a DHCP server. Or, you know, an IT administrator to run the network. But on the other hand, being networking guys, if you happen to plug a Dante system into a, you know, a building network, which is a managed network and that has various servers on it, like DHCP, the Dante devices will play nicely and pick up their configuration from a DHCP service if it's available on the network. So we try and do all the automatic network configuration. We try and use any configuration services that are out there. So we play with installed networks and we play with completely standalone and isolated networks in order to make sure that there's no magic numbers for getting the basic networking working. But another key part is also to provide really easy to use audio routing. So the idea there is that you don't want to use magic numbers again for audio routing. You want to give boxes and audio channels meaningful labels so that you can use those labels when you're setting up audio routes through the network. So the use of meaningful labels makes configuration much simpler and certainly less error-prone. You don't need to remember that front of house left is slot 4, channel 7, or something like that when you're setting up the system. So in Dante, when you're routing audio channels across the network, it looks the same to the user. You're just using labels and for the boxes and the channels, regardless of whether the underlying transport has redundancy, whether it's a point-to-point connection using unicast, whether it's multicast. So the underlying bits and bytes and all the magic numbers are all handled by Zen. So the Zen protocols are dealing with setting up of the packet flows between the boxes through the network. I think this is really critical as systems become larger and more complicated, because you're going to have more signals. Simplicity of configuration is critically important to actually getting something installed and working in a short period of time. And inevitably with large systems, certainly the ones that I've been involved in, there are always changes at the last minute, and so making those changes in an error-free way quickly is a key part, and Zen's a key component in doing that.
Right, and it's a really creative exercise to try to make something like that, a system like that, simpler as it gets bigger and more capable. Why the name Zen? Does that mean really stand for zero education needed?
You've been talking to Lance.
There's no telling who I've been talking to now.
Yeah, indeed.
It certainly sounds like the right name for this, because it sounds to me like anybody could walk up on an installation like this who was not involved in the original configuration and just look at it and see the user-friendly labels that have come up and sort of know, you know, get an immediate instant picture of what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a bit of an easier name to deal with, I think, than the previous way I used to talk about it, which was zero configuration networking. So, mm-hmm. When I was working in the IETF, it had that kind of idea of there was no configuration that the user needed to do. But I think Zen's a much better name.
So how does the Dante virtual sound card work?
Right. So one of the things that's different about Dante is that you can do a completely software implementation of Dante. So for other networking technologies, that you need a piece of hardware. So, for example, you need to buy a chip or a card. If you want to actually record something in your PC, then you need to plug in a card, like a Kerbernet card or an Ethersound card, into the PC. Dante, on the other hand, can be implemented entirely in software. So it's a technology that scales in terms of performance, but also in terms of implementation. So the Dante Virtual Sound Card is a piece of software, which is a software implementation of Dante, and that allows a PC or a Mac to become part of a Dante network using just the built-in Ethernet that's already in the computer. So the idea there is that standard audio applications, it might be a DAW, it might be Cubase, Nuendo, could be Logic, could be iTunes, basically see a multi-channel sound card, which is the Dante Virtual Sound Card, and the channels on that sound card can be sent and received to and from the network. So basically, the thing about the Dante Virtual Sound Card is that network enables all of your existing audio applications that you have on your PC.
All right. Well, this has been absolutely fabulous, Aidan. I mean, this is something I've been wanting to get into for a while now, as far as how the workings of this actually go and how you actually set it up. And in part two, we're going to get in more about the other protocols it can talk to, the hardware, some of which is available that can enable it to translate into other networking protocols that you may already have set up, and get more into the details, and especially some of the particular applications. But this has been great getting us started, and I really look forward to having you back on part two.
Okay.
I hope you enjoyed the Networked AV Podcast, Show 13, with Aidan Williams of Audinate. Show notes for this podcast are available on the website of Sound and Video Contractor Magazine at svconline.com. Thanks for listening, and join us for more with Aidan Williams in part two.